more like your son Jesus. We ask you to be here as it's read and preached. And Lord, help us to take it with us, that it doesn't just stay in this room, but that it goes out, changes our lives, and changes the world. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Well, our scripture of this reading comes from 1 John. 1 John chapter 3. First John chapter 3, and we'll be reading verses 10 through 23. So 10 through the end of the chapter. So 1 John chapter 3, starting at verse 10. People of God, this is God's very word. In this, the children of God and the children of the devil are manifest. Whoever does not practice righteousness is not of God, nor is he who does not love his brother. For this is the message that you heard from the beginning, that we should love one another, not as Cain, who was of the wicked one, and murdered his brother. And why did he murder him? Because his works were evil and his brother's righteous. Do not marvel, my brethren, if the world hates you. We know that we have passed from death to life, because we love the brethren. He who does not love his brother abides in death. Whoever hates his brother is a murderer, and you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. By this we know love, because he laid down his life for us, and we also ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. But whoever has this world's goods and sees his brother in need and shuts up his heart from him, how does the love of God abide in him? My little children, let us not love in word or in tongue, but in deed and in truth. And by this we know that we are of the truth and shall assure our hearts before him. For if our heart condemns us, God is greater than our heart and knows all things. Beloved, if our heart does not condemn us, we have confidence toward God. And whatever we ask, we receive from him, because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. And this is his commandment, that we should believe on the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as he gave us commandment. One more verse. Now he who keeps his commandments abides in him, and he in him. And by this we know that he abides in us, by the Spirit whom he has given us. And there ends the reading of God's word this evening. Well, if we were going to look at the world and the church today, I would hope we would be able to tell the difference. I would hope that if we looked at both the church and the world, that we could tell them apart. Because really, there is two. There are only two. Two seeds, two families. And one thing that we see plenty of in scriptures are these two families. We can see that there are the children of God, and we can see that there are the children of the devil. There's a family of light, but there's also a family of darkness. In the letter of 1 John, John is overjoyed to tell them that they're the children of God. He says this. He starts his letter off like this. Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us that we should be called children of God. Because that's who you are, beloved. That is who you are. See, John is writing this letter to a church that had a nasty church split. And half of them went away because they thought that they were telling the truth, that they knew the truth. And John said, no. No, they don't know. No, we know. We are the children of God. And he wants to give them encouragement to know who they are, to know that the battle isn't in vain. See, as the children of God, John talks about having family traits, those family marks that give us away as Christians. See, throughout 1 John, he tells us that we're in the family of God. And if you're in the family of God, you should see similarities with one another. You should see similarities in other believers. And what we're going to see this evening is that there's one overarching trait, family trait, and that family trait is love. But under this family trait, we could break it down into three more traits that give us away as Christians. And these aren't all the family traits that John goes through in this letter, but these are the most obvious ones that we see. When we see these traits, you will know that you're around brothers and sisters in Christ. Now, if you don't see these family traits, well, maybe you went to the wrong family dinner at Christmas time. You should know that you're around Christians. You should know when you're around the world. Two different people, two different families, two different seeds. Multiple family traits that are different. So this overarching trait of love, we're going to break down and see it in three different ways this evening. The first trait is love versus hate in murder. The second trait is laying down one's life for the brother. And the third trait we're going to see this evening is assurance despite not living up to that family name. Because, beloved, as we continue to live in this world, no matter how much hate we receive, we need to remember that the family of God is going to be known by one thing: love. The family of God will be known by love. See, in verse 10, we can read, "In this, the children of God and the children of the devil are manifest. Whoever does not practice righteousness is not of God. Nor is he who does not love his brother. For this is the message that you've heard from the beginning, that we should love one another." You know, one of the things as I've been going through Scripture is that in the New Testament, you will see that over and over again. Love one another. Love the brother. It's almost like we're not very good at it. They need to keep telling us over and over again to love one another. Love the Christian brother. So how does John show us this trait? Well, he takes us to the beginning, and he shows us the opposite of loving one another. He wants us to be sure that we know the difference between the children of God and the children of the devil. So what's John do? He shows us a trait of the children of the devil. He shows us a family trait of the evil one. See, John shows us how not to love. Verse 12, he says, "Don't love as Cain, who was of the wicked one and murdered his brother." Boys and girls, do you remember the story of Cain and Abel? See, Cain and Abel were the first two sons of Adam and Eve. Both brothers offered a sacrifice, didn't they? But what happened? Well, God accepted one sacrifice and turned down the other. See, God accepted only Abel's offering, didn't he? God rejected Cain's offering. And boys and girls, that made Cain very sad. And in his sadness, well, that sadness turned to anger. And then it turned to hate. And in his hate, Cain took all those feelings he had towards his brother and he murdered him. He murdered his brother Abel. That's a sad story, isn't it, boys and girls? That's not how God made us to be. Did you know this story is in the New Testament five times? It's actually the only Old Testament allusion in the book of 1 John. See, this is the go-to story in the New Testament when the author wants to show us what brotherly love is not. how not to love our brother. They go to this story. See, John is showing us these two seeds here. And even though Cain and Abel are of the same blood, they come from the same parents, we know without a shadow of a doubt, one of them was of the family of God. And sadly, the other was of the family of the devil. Now, continuing with verse 12, John asks, why did he murder him? Because his works were evil and his brothers righteous. You see, Cain hated the faith of his brother Abel. See, those are the evil one. They hate the faith of the children of God. The world wants nothing to do with true biblical faith in the Son of God. They can't stand it. They push away from it. They'll turn their backs to it. So let me ask you this tonight, beloved. Are you shocked when the world seemingly turns its back on Christianity? See, we lived so long in the West where people just assumed they were Christian. Even when they really didn't believe it, they just said, if you asked them, are you a Christian? Well, yeah, of course I'm a Christian. I'm an American. That's who we are. Right? But that's no longer the case. We know that's true now. The average Western person wants nothing to do with Christianity anymore. You know, a little while back, I had a friend, or a so-called friend, on Facebook. And they said this, and it took me by surprise because I wouldn't have expected it to come from somebody normal. This is what they said. They said that they would rather have their kids go to the library and have a book read to them by a man dressed as a woman than for them to go sit in a church and have a pastor call them a sinner and tell them they need to repent. What? Like, this is a normal person. This wasn't somebody that you would think something like that would come from. But then I realized that more and more, this is the America that we live in. More and more, this is the non-Christian person in America. Back in the day, they would have said they were Christian. Now they don't want anything to do with it. They don't want nothing to do with Christianity. So let me ask you the question again, beloved. Does it shock you that the world has turned its back on Christianity? And John tells us this evening that it shouldn't. See, if we read verse 13, it says this. Do not marvel, my brethren, if the world hates you. Or do not be surprised if the world hates you. One pastor wrote this. The Bible clearly states that we should expect such opposition. And if we are shocked by it, our ignorance of the Bible is exposed. So now, I'm not saying that we should go hide in a monastery somewhere or in a cave and be secret Christians and not tell anybody that we love the Lord, not tell anybody that Jesus is King. But the idea that everybody has these Christian values, it just isn't reality anymore. See, now, the Christian gets called every name under the sun if we want to hold the biblical values. If we want to say this is God's word and God's word is truth, you might hear words you don't want to hear. But guess what? That's okay. That's okay. Because they hated our Lord way before they ever hated us. John tells us, we know that we have passed from death to life because we love. See, you know you're a child of God because you love the brothers and sisters in Christ. See, we are in the world, but not of the world. That family trait shows. It shows that you have passed from death to life. It truly is the trait of the true Christian. This is not something that comes natural to man to love. Right? Like I said before, the authors of the New Testament have to tell us over and over and over again just to love our brothers. Not only to love those who are outside the church, but they have to tell us over and over again just to love those in the church. See, When you start to do this, you know you're different. You know you've been given something that the world doesn't have. Right? Once you receive faith, you can start to love one another. Right? Once you receive faith, you can take off that old man and put on the new. Because John goes on to say, he who does not love his brother abides in death. Whoever hates his brother is a murderer. And you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. See, John wants us to know that not loving your brother is only from the evil one. And the word that John uses for murderer there, it's only used one other place in the whole New Testament. John uses it here, and Jesus uses it as well. Listen to how Jesus uses the same word. You are of your father the devil, and your will is to do your father's desires. He was a murderer, there's the word, from the beginning, and does not stand in the truth, because there is no truth in him. See, John is adamant here. John wants his point to get across. No murderer has eternal life in him, meaning they are not in the family of God. See, John uses this word here to point us right back to where Jesus, what Jesus was saying, right back to where Jesus used it. How do I know that? Because there are many words in the Greek language for murderer, and he doesn't use those ones. He uses this one, and it's only used one other place. So he wants us to go back to that spot and listen and look to Jesus' teaching. He wants us to know whose children are murderers. And it's not the children of God. Next, John wants us to contrast Cain and the devil to Jesus. And this leads us to point two this evening, the family trait of laying down one's life. Picking up at verse 16, John writes this, "By this we know love, because he laid down his life for us. And we also ought to lay down our lives for the brethren." See, John takes us right back to something we've heard before. Right? He takes us right back to Jesus' own words, Jesus' own teaching. Right? Jesus said, "I am the good shepherd." And what does the good shepherd do? He lays down his life for the sheep. See, the message here is, if hate leads to taking another's life, well, love leads to laying down one's life. If hate leads to taking another's life, love leads to laying down one's life. That's the illustration that John gives us tonight. See, verse 16, which I read, is in the plural. I mean, he was speaking to everybody. Verse 16 says, "By this we know love, because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren." See, it's a message to the whole group. But in verse 17, John switches to the singular. So he was talking to the whole group, but now he's talking to you. Now he's looking right at you. And he says this. He says, "But whoever has the world's goods and sees his brother in need and shuts up his heart from him, how does the love of God abide in him?" What is John doing here? That verse seemed out of place, didn't it? It seemed like it came out of nowhere. He was talking to the whole group, and then he narrows in to each one of us. And he tells us that. "Whoever has the world's goods and sees his brother in need and shuts up his heart from him, how does the love of God abide in him?" You see, laying down one's life is a lot more than just dying for somebody. It's way bigger than that. Laying down one's life is about a whole life of sacrifice. It involves meeting the basic need of our Christian brothers and sisters. You know, one thing that I've learned This is probably the hardest family trait to have. If we know of a brother or sister in Christ that's in need, yet we close our heart to them, John would say we're missing a crucial family trait of the family of God. See, it's easy to say that we love our brothers and sisters, but it's another to actually do it. See, it might be easy to love those brothers and sisters that we're close to. Like, it's easy to love those who we see every Sunday in these chairs. We can love everybody. I hope we can love everybody in the chairs. But it's hard to love those who look different than us, who smell different than us, right? Who have different hygiene than us. Their way of living is way different than us. See, it's hard to love somebody when we think that they could do more to better their situation. And remember, I'm not talking about those in the world here. I'm talking about those in the church. Right? I'm talking about the brothers and sisters in Christ, those who pray to the same God you do, those who love the same Jesus that you do. And you know what? I'm going to be the first to admit, I fail at this one. Like I said, this is a terribly hard family trait to have. John wants us to know that real love is more than words and talk. It results in action. So verse 18, John puts it right out there for us. My little children, let us not love in word or in tongue, but in deed and in truth. See, this isn't something that the apostles just made up for the New Testament. God has been teaching his people this since they became a people. Since the very beginning, God has been teaching his people this. All the way back in Deuteronomy 15, listen to this from Deuteronomy 15. If there is among you a poor man of your brethren within any of the gates in your land which the Lord your God has given you, you shall not harden your hearts nor shut your hand from your poor brother, but you shall open your hand wide to him and willingly lend him sufficient for his need, whatever he needs. Beware lest there be a wicked thought in your heart, saying, the seventh year, the year of release is at hand, and your eye be evil against your poor brother, and you give him nothing, and he cry out to the Lord against you, and it becomes sin among you. See, the sad thing is when we read that last verse, you're like, ooh, that one hurts. That from verse 9, that kind of hits us right here. Wait. Is that really what God's going to do? If we don't give to our brother, he calls it sin? See, God in the old covenant had given his people a way out of debt. And at the end of 7 years, things would all just start over. And everyone's debt was gone. So you would think that would make everybody happy. But yes, no more debt. But then you remember what's in here. That's why God warns us about our hearts. We have the thoughts. Well, if I loan to my poor brother in year 6.5, I'm not going to receive anything back. God says, you're right. And if you think like that, if those thoughts start to creep in about giving to your brothers and your sisters, God calls that thought sin. See, that should give us a pause in our steps. Because we can say we love, we can say we care, but if it's going to hurt us, well, maybe next time. See, John's telling us this evening that when we lay down our lives for our brothers, it's about sacrifice. Even when it hurts. I'm going to read verse 18 again. My little children, let us not love in word or in tongue, but in deed and in truth. And by this we know that we are of the truth and shall assure our hearts before him. See, John has showed us two family traits this evening. Two family traits. If you are of the children of God, you should see these family traits. The first was the trait of love versus the trait of hate and murder. The second was the trait of laying down one's life for the brother. Now he's going to show us the third. The trait of assurance despite not living up to that family name. The trait of assurance despite not living up to the family name. See, now there are going to be times when we know we're part of the family of God. We know we're believers. We know we're children of God. But then you look in the mirror and you think, whoa, maybe I haven't been doing all I can. Sometimes we haven't been loving in word or deed or in truth. Maybe I am hypocritical and hold hate in my heart for my brother. See, it's painful when we become aware of these things. It's painful when it's shown to us how far we've fallen from where we want to be. How much we want to be somewhere and we realize, oh, we're not even close. See, beloved, throughout our journey in this wilderness wandering, there are going to be times when we need to be reassured in heart. Because there's going to be times when we do fall short. There's going to be times when we don't live up to the family name of God. But do you want to hear something awesome? God gives us the reassurance. God himself reassures us. Verse 20, for if our heart condemns us, God is greater than our hearts and knows all things. See, when we start to be weighed down by our guilt, we need to take our eyes off of us and put them on the only place they should be, Jesus Christ. See, he truly knows us. Because just like his word says, he knows all things. He knows that we belong to him. He knows that it's only through the work of his son, Jesus Christ, that we can have our sins forgiven. He reassures us this by picking us back up when we fall down. And that's one of the hardest things to do, right? Is to get back up. When you know you've fallen, when you know, I just can't live up to this. Lord says, okay, it's okay. I got you. I know you love me. I know this is hard. Be reassured, you're mine. How encouraging is that to know that God reassures you? That it's not you trying to pump yourself back up. Yeah, you know, I'm just going to try harder today. Guess what? You're going to fail again. No. God reassures you. When our hearts start to condemn us, remember what the Apostle Paul said. If God is for us, who can be against us? It is God who justifies. Who is to condemn? Not even your own heart. And John goes on to tell us that we can approach God in confidence, even when we don't live up to the family name like we should. Beloved, if your heart does not condemn us, we have confidence toward God. See, the author of Hebrews writes the same thing. Let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, with our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Who does that? God does. See, when we start to rest in the work of Christ, we have confidence to enter the presence of God. And we can do that unashamed. When you look in that mirror and you don't see the family traits, God cleanses you with the blood of his son. That gives us the confidence to go back to God. The confidence to be in the presence of God unashamed. That's what John's trying to get across to these people, to us this evening. John finishes our text this evening with us standing before God, bringing our prayers and supplications to Him, knowing that He not only hears, but He answers the prayers of His children. Verse 22, and whatever we ask, we receive from Him, because we keep His commandments and do those things that are pleasing in His sight. And this is His commandment. Stop. I'm going to take us back 1 second. You're thinking, wait a second. We don't keep those commandments. We don't do the things that are pleasing in His sight. And this is His commandment, that we should believe on the name of His Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as He gave us commandment. Those are the things that we do. If you are in Christ, you believe on the name of the Son of Jesus, on His Son, Jesus Christ. And hopefully you love one another. Now he who keeps His commandments abides in Him, and He in him. And by this we know that He abides in us by the Spirit whom He has given us. The ultimate family trait of the children of God, that we abide in Him and He in us. How do you know that? You have the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit's been given to you. So now, beloved, do you have these family traits? Do you love and not hate or murder? Do you lay down your life by making sacrifices that hurt to take care of your brothers and sisters? Do you have assurance despite not living up to the family name? Remember what I said in the very beginning. We need to look different than the world. We need to act different. We need to talk different. We need to be different. Do we have the family traits? When the world looks at us, do they know, that's a child of God over there? Or do they look at you and think, yeah, he's just like one of us? Because, beloved, as we continue to live in this world, no matter how much hate you receive, we need to remember that the family of God will be known by love. Known by it. Like I said in the beginning, this is hard. It's hard. But we can do it. You know why? Because God gives us the strength and will walk beside us every step of the way. You're never alone. Because we can't do this on our own. We need His strength every day. We need to remember who gives us this strength. We need to rely on the only one who lived a perfect life. We need to rely on the only one who could pay the perfect price. Who loved more than anybody else? Jesus. Who went to the cross? Who was beaten, spit upon, had his beard pulled out by someone's hands, nailed to a cross and hung there? And what did he say? Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. That's love. That's love. Christ is our example. Can we be Christ-like? Can we show those family traits? I hope we can. I hope we strive to be like Jesus. I hope when you go out to your next event that the world is surprised because you're so different. That the family traits are so strong in you. Whoa, that's a child of God over there. Beloved, that's what the world needs. This dark world needs those family traits to be out there so people could wonder, why am I not like them? Why am I so different? Because then they'll ask questions about, who is this that you love? Jesus Christ. The gospel goes out. So, beloved, the family of God will be known by its love. That's John's prayer for you this evening. That's my prayer for you. And I hope that's your prayer as well. Let us pray. Father God, we come before you this evening, and we know that we can't do this on our own. Lord, these family traits, they seem so hard most of the time. But Lord, we don't want to be like Cain or the devil. No, we want to love like you love. We want to be sacrificial like you're sacrificial. We want to lay down everything for our brothers and sisters. And when our heart tries to get in the way, Lord, just shut it off. Remember what you did. While that we were still sinners, Christ died for us. And Lord, when we know we don't live up to the family name, help us not to pout about it and just roll away, but pick us back up. Put us back on the path. Let us know it's in your strength and your strength alone that we can do this. Because, Lord, you know this world needs the gospel. And we're your ambassadors. The world will know you by getting to know us. So, Lord, help us to remember those things. Help us to show these family traits, not only in this room with each other, but out and about when we go on our daily lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.